Well, the birds are singing, Rocky's in the garden, and we finally got a chance to get our seeds in. And the tulips have come out. I'm just looking at Rocky, and he's just marking out where my seeds are going to go. Because this year, now that we've got these two main beds ready in the front garden here at Juniper and Rose, we've got, we're putting a cutting garden in. Rocky, it's the right time of year now, the sun's out. You did promise to sit on the soil on a bare bottom.
Do you want me to do it now? I don't know, I haven't done it today. Well, not in front of anybody anyway.
When I wasn't looking. Is that what you're saying? You're like, am I missing something here?
No, it's all good. No, the soil is warming up now nicely. So the air temperatures at the nights are still quite cool, but they are getting much, much better. And it's virtually, if we do get a small, slight frost now, it's nothing as major as what it has been in the previous months that we've been having.
Now I've got about 2,500 tulips in the garden. Doesn't look like 2,500, does it? About 2,000 have come up?
Yeah, I would say so. When I was planting them, there definitely was about that. They were in sacks of 1,000, so we definitely know. But they look great. They've got a Purisma, which is the white one at the moment. And then we've got, I'm not sure what the blue one. I think it's Blue Parrot or something. Something similar to that that we've got next to it.
It's not really blue though, is it? I mean, it's actually purple.
No, we want it to be purple.
No, you're right. It is.
It's good.
It's good. Right. One of the tips that I just wanted to share with people who are listening to this. We're planting in between plants. We're going to be putting plants in between the tulips. You're going to be standing on the bed. A lot of people will find this is a problem for them when they're planting lots of different things over a period of a few days. What are we going to use to mark out where you've planted? Because I heard sand, but I'm a little bit worried about sand having salt in it with it and where it's come from. So,
well, sand is a traditional way to kind of mark it. If you're doing a hardy annual border or an annual border, you normally like try and sow things in rows. But so it doesn't look so regimented. That the reason why they're sown in rows is so you can tell the difference between the weed seedlings and the seedlings you're trying to sow. So the sand would be marked in it could be marked in grids or it can be marked in curves, which defines the area which you've sown the patch. And then within those curves or those squares, you then put the lines or the rows in for the seeds. So you don't end up with soldiers to attention, but you could put diagonal lines in. And so it gives a grid pattern, which has some kind of structure to it as the seedlings then grow. So you're not looking at straight lines, but you're looking at some, maybe it's a seed version of a knot garden, basically. You have some structure until you get the flowers. And when they fill up, obviously, the weeds will hide if you get any.
Now, of course, I've got lots and lots of David Austin roses in here. They're all white. And then we've got the smoke bushes, which are purple. And I've got a huge, great big maybe 70 to 100 feet copper beech tree in the garden.
Yeah, people make the mistake of calling it a purple beech, and it's wrong. It's the copper beech. It's a great, I love it in the spring. It emerges as a lovely coppery colour, and as the season progresses, then it gets darker, and it's really, and so the whites in the garden that we've got will really bounce off it.
And so we've decided we were going to go just for a white garden, Vita Sackville West style from Sissinghurst, but it felt a little bit like it was just a little bit too formal for here, because we do like to be informal. So we're going to introduce the colours of the copper beech into the garden with the white. It's a little bit of a compromise. So we're going for purples, blues and white only in this garden.
Yes, that's correct. Now the smoke trees, the Cotanus cogigreas in the back, the purple, they're the purple smoke trees. So they balance out the copper beech that we have that's grown behind us. But the great thing is about having a darker background as it picks up the white. When the white spectrum of colour, what you're going to be looking at is when you come home in the evening, you get to see that white because of the light spectrum. It lasts longer in the evening. So if you like to sit in your garden at night, and it makes the garden feel more dreamier and driftier and much more further away. So it makes the garden bigger. It's a very good design tip to use lighter colours. So the purples and whites will offset each other quite nicely.
And also it's quite good to have something white further towards the back end of the garden because it highlights the garden and that makes it look further away, doesn't it? It's an eye draw, isn't it?
It's an eye draw. It's the light spectrum as well. So if you planted your gardens with lots of hot colours like yellows and reds, It's great that makes your garden feel more enclosed and everything's much more closer to you.
You say if I were to plant the garden in oranges and
which
reds
I know
and
you're
yellow.
Not going to because you know what it's like.
Obviously, I would like to see a psychiatrist at that point.
But there's a time and a place. I think sometimes with gardens, I mean, yeah, all different colours are great, and some people like mixed borders. Some people like mixing herbs in their borders.
No, I can see a mix.
There's a place for it as well.
Definitely not here.
Not here, because if you think about it, we've got some lovely ironstone here as well, and they don't really suit the really hot colours. They suit the much more the peaches to the creams to the the lighter shades. They look much better compared to the yellows.
I think part of the problem is that the colours, those colours don't go with cream of the house and the colour of the walls here. I think that's the problem. They do actually clash terribly. Right, so we haven't got any sand, so we're using ash from this. I mean, we've just decided we've been organic for 2 years, but officially we're organic. So we've gone to Wrighton Gardens, and I've got some of the wood ash to mark out where we're going to plant instead of sand. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's not a problem. It's good for potash, so it will help things to flower as well. So you don't want to go too mad on it, but we're going to use it quite lightly, so then it helps me when I've sown like the seeds at the moment. I'm just about to sow some Amni Magus, which is fantastic. It's all the rage. It was the other year. It's like a cow parsley flower, really good for hand-tied bouquets. We're going to have some larkspur as well, so it'll just help us differentiate the system of when we're going to sow, so it looks that we don't overseed with each of the varieties.
Well, I'm not precious about this garden in terms of it's a cutting garden, so the stuff that is in here, the seeds are in here, it's cut and come again and cut, isn't it? So that's, we want loads and loads of flowers in here. And I've got all my seeds from Thompson and Morgan. So quite looking forward to seeing what happens in there.
I know, it's going to be great. And it's so nice to be out, and what a lovely couple of days it's been.
Yeah, I can't believe it's nearly the end of 2 days of gardening. You've done most of the work, I have to say. I've been doing cups of tea and administration and kind of bossing you about.
That's all right. Bossing. I wouldn't say bossing. I mean, obviously, it's your garden. You have there might be some ideas you might have, and I might say, actually, no, it's not the right way. We need to do it this way. But it's kind of working together. And most of the gardens, the big gardens, if you think about it, you got Gertrude Jekyll, and then you got, she had someone, it was Edward Leiter. I can never pronounce his name.
Oh, no, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
I don't think Vita Sackville-West was actually getting her hands dirty in the soil, which doesn't explain why my nails look so bad. But I'm not even going to say anything about yours. They look like, never mind. Last quick one. Covent Garden. I mean, Chelsea, of course. Chelsea. I've been shopping, you see. Chelsea, it's not far away now, is it?
No, it's the week commencing. Well, I'm actually going to be at the Great Pavilion helping out.
You've got a big grin on your face.
Right, it's going to be really exciting. I'm there for 3 days. I'm helping out the centenary, so you might see me down there. And I think it's going to be
see me.
You're going down there on the press day. But yeah, it's like kind of the early 20s of May. So it's the 20-something. I can't remember the top of my head. I think the 23rd's a Thursday.
Do you know they kick me out when the Queen arrives? I have to leave by 3 on press day.
Okay.
I might just hide under a table and say boo to her.
Boo. I wouldn't want to do that. I'm sure she'd be happy.
That's when you find me locked up. Rocky, thanks. The garden looks amazing. And what's really good now is that you're going to be here on the teaching days.
Yep.
You're going to be showing people around the garden.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, telling people how to plant, what to plant, how to look after it. And I'm going to do the cooking bit.
Yeah, that's great.
You make a good team.
It's going to be fab. It's going to be great. Obviously, we've got a really good scope here. We've got a fab herb garden, a veg garden that we've got that's been developing over a couple of years. We've got currants, and then we've got the thug bed. So you get to see all the rhubarb and how we plant with the rhubarb and the things over it to give you seasonal colour. And then we've got peonies and we've got David Austin roses. The list goes on. It's going to be fab.
It's going to be a good year, isn't it? It's our second year in the garden and it's really taken shape. I'm so pleased with it.
Yeah, it's great to see. I mean, it's changed so much over the last, to say, couple of years.
From a complete bomb site.
I would say it's a complete bomb site. I think last year the weather didn't actually help too much either. But, what we did, what did come through was really good, to do with the weather. But now, with most gardens, and like with herbaceous plants, they're constantly evolving. They're always going to change. They're never going to be perfect. And that's the joy of gardening. Because And like if you're a cabinet maker or you're a bricklayer, you have conformed to standards. Okay, there's techniques of doing it the right way, but it's never a finished product.
It's very interesting, you know, because I'm standing here and actually 2 years ago is literally, well, not even 2 years ago, actually, it's 2 years ago in July and we're in May, June, July. So it's actually 22 months ago. There were 500 feet conifer trees in this garden, just making it completely dark and really acidic. And my husband has taken round about 100, I lost count about 100, but I'm reckoning now about 125 trailers of absolute rubbish out of this garden. And do you know what? Your fork over there, as I've been talking, there's this beautiful, gorgeous robin just sat on the fork about 10 feet away from you. It's really transformed now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it definitely has. And it's just a joy to see. And I think that's the thing with gardens is they always constantly change, as I said before. And so they're exciting because sometimes things work, sometimes things don't. And each season is completely different every year.
Do you know what I really like about this spot here is if I could just peep through those leaves and those branches that are trailing right down from the copper beach, I can see everybody on their allotment. It's really cool. Where everyone's out.
Everyone's out. It's that time of the year. So if you haven't started, get out there. It's never too late to start in the garden. And even if you have an idea, start small. Because if you start small, then you get more encouraged and then you can go bigger. If you start too big, sometimes you can get overwhelmed. That's my tip.
Do you know how I started? I started at university and I started with 3 pots and some herbs. Now look at it.
Exactly. Take Vanessa, for example. She even told me yesterday she wanted a bigger herb garden. But the thing is, you know, I don't know what we might have to do. We might have to take over the whole village. But, you know, it's all good. I think everyone's like that. Once you start, you can't stop. But it's very exciting.
It is. There we are.